Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. The apostles' answer to Jesus' question reflects their awareness of how he has been received and perceived throughout his journeys by the various crowds that have seen him. They are also probably the kindest answers to that question that they could have given, but they are not all of them. From a good reading of the Gospels, we could also add that people say that Jesus is a troublemaker. They say that he's just the carpenter's son, that he's a heretic, a blasphemer, even someone who is in league with the devil. People have said that's who Jesus is too. But all of these answers, the good and the bad, really say more about the people responding than they do about Jesus himself. When Jesus asks this question, he's not looking for people's preferences. He's not trying to fit in or conform to other people's expectations. He's not surveying the crowds in order to give them what they want. Instead, Jesus wants to know if people really know him. Do they really know him? He doesn't necessarily care if people know things about him. Rather, he wants to know if a relationship has been established or not, if there is something deeper than curiosity or identity politics at play. Jesus knows who he is. He knows very well who he is. This question is for the apostles, and it is more than just a simple test to see if they're paying attention. Simon responds for them all, as he often does, sometimes with success and sometimes putting his foot into his mouth. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a bold proclamation. And also the correct answer, right? But there's more to that answer than just a gold star for Simon. Our recognition of Jesus' identity has consequences for us. It is not just knowing something about Jesus. It's about knowing him. And if we know him, then that means something for us and the way we are to act and how we live our lives. If we truly, honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the promised Messiah, that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is God, then his example, his teachings, his word is more than just a good idea. They carry much more weight with us. A relationship is more than the facts. I have a relationship with my mom. I'm sure you're happy to know that, right? As we all should, right? I have a relationship with her, but that would be the case even if I couldn't rattle off her biography or identify her birthday or tell you what color her eyes are. You'll also be happy to know that I can do that as well. But she is much more than that, especially to me and to my siblings. Our relationship with mom has shaped who we are. That relationship has an effect in my life, even at this very moment when I am here and she is somewhere else. My relationship with my mom is why I laugh at my own jokes. See, there I go again. Like, that's a... And in a way, you know my mother because you know me. She's also happens to be a pretty awesome lady that you should meet, but I happen to be a little biased in that regard. But so too with Jesus. So too with Jesus. Those who see Jesus as a prophet or a pop star in Israel at the time, they don't fully get him. They don't. They're more like fans than disciples. Jesus doesn't want fans. He wants people who intimately know him and know that he intimately knows them. In fact, much of what the various people in the crowd say about Jesus is driven by their desires and their experiences rather than who he really is. Think of your own favorite image of Jesus. You probably have it somewhere in your home, right? Maybe it's Jesus the Good Shepherd. Maybe it's Jesus on the cross. Maybe it's sweet baby Jesus lying in a manger, right? Is it hippie Jesus? Is it white Jesus? Black Jesus? Palestinian correct Jesus? All of those things carry a sense of who he really is, but they are all filtered through our own experience and our own needs. Who do I need Jesus to be at this moment? I heard a story. If you've ever visited the National Basilica of the Immaculate Conception down in D.C., you ever been there, the giant church down there by Catholic U? You go in and people will always remark about the terrifying Christ looming over the apse, right? Seminarian friends of mine would call it Aryan weightlifter Jesus because he's got this, you know, mane of blue, blonde hair, blue eyes. He's got this, he's almost flexing, right? And the story that I heard about that is the reason the artist depicted him that way is that he was a Polish refugee. That he was a refugee from the Nazis. And as he designed that, he designed Jesus. He wanted a Christ who was strong enough to protect his family. That was why he chose that image. Not to show the power of the church or to terrify people who walk in, although that does happen to us sometimes. But it was more for his sake and the sake of those who need to know that Jesus is powerful enough to care for all of us and all of our loved ones. But all of our images of Jesus have something of ourselves tied up in them. But Jesus wants us to know him. This is why he turns that question around personally on his disciples. Who do you say that I am? You don't get to phone a friend on this. You don't get to check your notes. You don't get to go back and try to Wikipedia it or Google who Jesus is. It has to come from your heart. Who do you say that I am? And when we truly know Jesus as Simon does, then he tells us who we are. Our identity is tied up in who he is. God created you. The Father has a dream for you, just as you are for all eternity. From your conception in the womb, God has called you by name, and he has known you better than you ever will know yourself. Our lives, especially our Christian lives, are a process of discovering who that person is. The person whom God has created to be with him forever. That's who God knows. More intimately than I can know myself. And Jesus knows this person too. Learning who we are is a matter of establishing a real relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. And it is in him that we learn our true identity, just as Simon did. Once he answers who Christ is, he receives a new name, a new identity in a sense. I say to you, you are Peter. We are here because we long for God. We long for God. We have been created with this longing to know God and therefore to know that our lives have a purpose, our lives have a direction. For the Christian, that direction is found in Jesus and only in him. And knowing him, we discover true meaning in our life. St. Augustine famously recognized this in his Confessions, which is his spiritual autobiography, which opens with a beautiful and often quoted line, a reflection on the mystery of human life in the light of Christ. I'm going to read the whole thing, not just the little part that we often hear. This is Augustine. Great are you, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is your power, and of your wisdom there is no end. And man, being part of your creation, desires to praise you. Man, who bears about with him his mortality, the witness of his sin, even the witness that you resist the proud. Yet, man, this part of your creation desires to praise you. You move us to delight in praising you, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He goes on, Lord, teach me to know and understand which of these should be first, to call on you or to praise you, and likewise to know you or to call on you. But who calls upon you without knowing you? For he that knows you may not call upon, he who that knows you not may call upon you other than as you are. Or perhaps we call on you that we may know you. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe without a preacher? And those who seek the Lord shall praise him. For those who seek shall find him. And those who find him shall praise him. Let me seek you, Lord, in calling on you, and call on you in believing in you, for you have been preached unto us. O Lord, my faith calls on you, that faith which you have imparted to me, which you have breathed into me through the incarnation of your Son, through the ministry of your preacher. When St. Augustine refers to a preacher here, he's referring to his friend and mentor, St. Ambrose, who really brought this brilliant young man into a real relationship with Christ. And Augustine's life began to make sense to him, especially in light of everything that had happened to him. Ambrose was that catalyst for Augustine to know Jesus personally and to have all sorts of sense become apparent in his life. But we could easily replace that preacher with me, you, anyone who knows Jesus. Because you might be the only gospel that somebody else encounters. You might be the only church that someone else encounters. Right? We know people who will say, the church is hypocritical. The church is judgmental. The church is homophobic. What they really are saying is that the people of the church that they have encountered are all of those things. They are the ones who have turned them off to a relationship with Jesus in his church. But that's because we carry so much of a responsibility to witness to who Jesus is. And people will not get to know him. Some people may never know him were it not for you. Be very careful with how you represent Christ to others. It must always be inspired by a love that flows from him and from no one else. This Mass, as in every Mass, we are invited into the presence of Jesus, who is personally present to us in the Eucharist. When we receive him, he speaks in us, he acts in us, he loves in us. It should be a regular part of our lives that we have conversations with him, that we listen to his word often, and that we are nourished and loved by him in his sacraments. That is how we come to know Christ. And that is how we will also come to know ourselves.